Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tom Withers is in for Andy today. I've known Chris a very long time, and I don't know him as well as you do, Tom.
Yeah.
But I've known him a very long time. Always as forthcoming as he can be in his position.
No doubt.
And I say that because, you know, what are you going to say? Hey, Tristan McKenzie's had trouble. Yeah, man, we're really worried about him. That's not the way guys in that position do that job. He's as forthcoming as he can be, I think. And has good things to say to you. And I go back to the pitching aspect of this that he talked about. These guys have done a masterful job.
Unbelievable.
Of pitching. Because hitters are making unbelievable money, but you got to have a lot of pitchers. And a lot of teams have a lot of pitchers making a lot of money. This team has good pitching without having this outrageous investment in some of these guys who just don't always stay healthy.
Well, they haven't been able, they can't afford it. Right.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Right?
So figure out a way to your point, you know, the charge that Larry Dolan gave this organization years ago was
when he bought the
pitching,
team.
pitching.
Yeah.
And that's what they've built this around. You know, they've nicknamed it the pitching factory for a lot of reasons. And we've seen great guys come here. We've seen, unfortunately, some great guys have to leave here because of financial constraints. But yeah, he's done a marvelous job. A little side note, the first time I met Chris Antonetti was in a pickup basketball game in Winter Haven, Florida. They had a court right outside
the dining area.
You know where I'm talking about there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so Chris was a...
Mike Segi was always in those
there
games.
There you go. I think he organized it. And Chris was a young and up-and-coming... player development, personnel, whatever.
Did you elbow him?
Twice, yeah. I found out he went to Georgetown, so I knew he was a Big East guy and he could take the contact. So to your point, though, Jeff, Chris has always been available, always transparent. I'll share this, you know, from a media standpoint, could be frustrating at times because you would ask a question and get a long answer that really didn't have much substance
to it.
And we would... you know, invariably leave the Zoom meeting or the interview room kind of scratching our heads like, did he really say anything? But, you know, he's always been available. You know, anytime I needed to reach out to him, if it was a big ticket item going on with the ball club, you know, Chris would respond. He's done a terrific job. You know, he took over from Mark Shapiro, who I regard as one of the best guys in baseball. You know, alongside Mike Chernoff, I think they've done a marvelous job with this team over the last couple of years. And I think we can all agree that they are in a window right now, a championship window again right now. And you can't always say that about every franchise in this town. So, you know, kudos to them.
The one thing I've always thought about with the Guardians is, and clearly, Tom, in baseball, and Dan gets on me about this all the time. Okay, you want really rich people hiring really smart guys and spending tons and tons of money. That's the dream scenario.
That's a model,
Dan,
yeah.
Dan, does that fit
for
you?
That model works.
Way too much money with really smart guys.
Yeah, and then you leave them alone and let them do their jobs.
Okay, let's leave out all of the money in the world. I would rather have a team, if I had to pick one or the other, and the Guardians aren't alone, I'd rather have a team run by really smart guys in a really good operation than have an owner throwing money to guys to spend who aren't good at what they do, because that's just throwing money down the commode. That doesn't do you any good. It doesn't build you a team. This team has for years given us good entertainment and a chance to compete more often than not.
What more can you ask for as a fan, right?
I don't know. See, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
And
not for everyone.
It's not enough for everybody.
Yeah. I follow you. And I know, you know, unfortunately, the longest World Series title drought in baseball currently, right?
Yep.
And ongoing. And I know that's been, and listen, there's been no franchise, I can hardly think of one, you guys know better, that has come closer, that has endured more heartbreak than this franchise, right? That's been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, Jeff, you know, year after year, consistent, good product on the field for the most part, right? I mean, there's been some dips here and there, but, you know, you look through the Francona years, I mean, great baseball, exciting baseball, good players. They, you know, unfortunately, haven't been able to keep everybody. There's been some very tough decisions they've had to make over the years, whether it was with CeCe Sabathia or Cliff Lee or right on down the line. But, yeah, I'm just glad we're talking about baseball again, man. It makes me feel
me
good.
Too.
It warms the heart.
Me too. You've made me flash to a memory I don't like. 1997.
Oh, boy.
I'm outside the stadium because the media is all set up outside and we're getting ready to do live shots and everything else. And there's a huge garage door right on the outside of the stadium. And we're looking, and there goes the World Series trophy being wheeled toward the Indians clubhouse with Dick Jacobs walking right behind it. And I thought, oh my God, could this possibly
happen?
Is this happening?
Yeah.
And then, Tom, the World Series trophy went back
the other way.
Yeah. And then, oh my, literally, they took it back. And I thought, oh my God, that's just terrible. That's terrible.
I've relived many of those myself. Yeah, I was in the auxiliary press box for Game 7. For that series. I wasn't even here. I was still working out of New York.
That's awesome.
But I was part of the baseball team being down there. And, you know, as people know, you know, my family was a Cleveland Indians family, you know, from the day I was born. So, you know, deep in the cockles of my heart, I was rooting really hard for them. So, yeah.
One thing that I thought Chris didn't give us much on, I understand it. Because I said, Bazana's hitting 538.
He skipped over that quickly,
didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And Brito's hitting 345.
Yeah.
And Arias is at like 250, and he's doing okay. Tom, that's a lot for them to juggle there.
Well, it is. And you know what? And I've been kind of pounding the Bazana drum here for a while now. There's a reason why they took him number one overall, right?
Yeah.
He gets a special talent. He's a special player. And I tell you, I was really impressed, and I know – I talked to a couple people within the organization, but I know after they took him last year and he was here and before he had gone down to Lake County, I mean, he was here every day working on his game, and he's played a lot of baseball, and he's a very mature kid and he's a very driven kid. There's a reason why he's the number one overall pick. We've seen a few of those in this town, right?
He does seem more mature.
And when somebody has those special qualities, so it's not an accident that they traded Jimenez in the offseason. It's not an accident that Tyler Freeman's no longer here. There's a runway for Travis Bazana. It's just a matter of whether he's going to be here in July or September or next week.
Do you think it happens this year?
I do.
You do?
I do.
You told us that when you were on the show with us about a month ago.
I did. Yeah. I just, and again, not really talking to anybody other than, you know, just reading the tea leaves, reading the fact that this was the number one overall pick, the first number one in forever, ever.
Yeah,
right? first one in franchise history, yeah. Right? So there's special qualities to begin with, right? There's a special investment that goes with that, right? If you've acknowledged that this is the best guy available in the draft, you take him, then you know the clock has started. And so, and then, you know, it doesn't hurt, by the way, that he starts out, what, 7 for 13 or whatever he is, yeah, right now, and yeah, and hitting the ball right on the screws. I think even a couple of his outs have been really hard. So he's coming.
What, we didn't ask Chris about this. What went through your head when they made the trade and brought Nolan Jones back here? And I overblow it because I hated the fact that they traded a 6'6 power hitting prospect for another middle infielder.
Yeah,
even though that guy's still here.
Getting Jones back was exciting to me. I reminded myself these guys that play in Colorado put up some big numbers,
yeah,
and they're not always what they seem. You know, I hated to see him go the first time, right? So I was glad they kind of...
I thought that was a miserable deal.
It was a bad deal. And then when you consider that they really haven't figured out this right field situation yet, right? And when Will Brennan got sent down, I was like, okay, something's coming here. I like the Noel Jones platoon there. One of them's got to start hitting, though.
Yes, sir.
Otherwise, we're going to be on the option C, D, or E. But, hey, listen, he's a kid that... All the potential is there, right? We've seen that from the get-go with him, and just hope that he can finally put it together and put it together here.
The issue out there, the fact that Lane Thomas is in center field, I think calms things down a little bit, because I think you can shuffle through one position in the outfield where you're platooning.
You'd rather not, but I hear you.
Yeah. They've been shuffling through two.
Right.
You know, with center and right. And to me, that, for the life of me, Tom, I could never figure that one out. And they just didn't have the guy. You know, they signed Miles, and it was not an expensive contract. Miles was smart. He took the money.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Indians, Guardians, overspent when they signed
Miles.
No, that was
an easy deal. Yeah.
But he didn't produce.
No.
And so that...
Not at the plate.
No, that left you thinking, oh, my God, now we have two holes in the outfield. You can't win in the big leagues usually with two holes in the outfield.
And isn't everybody screaming every year about the corner outfields here?
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an issue for a while now. So got to get that tightened up quick.
I've always wondered, and I know Stephen Kwan's tremendous in left field, but I've always thought, okay, if you're tremendous in left field,
yeah,
you could be really darn good in center field. Lane Thomas takes care of that. But before Lane Thomas was here, I just kept thinking, do you not have some bruiser who can hit the ball out of the park that you could put in left and another one in right?
I'm with you. You know, and speaking of which, I was going to bring up the Kwan extension to Chris, although I know he would have kicked that can down the road. And
I've
had one of those frustrating media moments for me that I've had over the years. But, you know, that'll come at some point.
You think it will?
I am. I'm certain of it.
He deserves it.
God, is there anybody better to have in that one spot than him?
The
way he works pitchers.
The only concern that I have, Tom, I know he got dinged up last year.
Yeah.
Man, did he fall off the face of the earth late in the season. And I don't know why.
A little bit.
I don't know why. And I wonder, was it a straight injury? I don't think the league figured him out. He's off to a nice start again.
I think he's a young guy, too, who's still figuring it out, Jeff, from the standpoint of he goes 100 miles an hour all the time, right? And I think, as we all have learned throughout the course of our careers, you got to throttle it down every now and again. And I think it'll be incumbent upon Stephen Vogt to, first of all, he's gained some trust with Stephen Kwan after last year and being around him a little bit, but, you know, allowing him to take some days off, take some breaks, you know, like, you know, Hosey, you know, is going to fight Stephen Vogt to stay in the lineup every day, much like he did with Terry Francona. I think Stephen Kwan's got to take better care of his body. Not to say that he's, you know, beating himself up by any means, but I think he's got to rest himself a little bit to be able to stay mentally and physically sharp down the stretch, like you talked about.
Every time I see him go after a foul ball down the line, I think, oh God, please be careful. I do every time, Tom. Every time. More Guardians talk coming up noon. Travis Hafner, former Indians first baseman. It says here on our rundown, youth baseball coach who is in it to win it.
No surprise.
He once told me, I'm going to coach my kids, and we're going to have so much fun, and we're going to be awful. I don't think that's the case. I don't think his teams are awful. Travis is joining us at noon. Omar Vizquel at 1 o'clock. Mary Kay Cabot from The Plain Dealer, cleveland.com, covers the Browns next here on Baskin and Phelps with Tom Withers in for Andy. But, you know, we have this little thing called the NFL draft that's coming up. And it occupies people's time, especially people who cover the team for a living on a daily basis. And one of those folks is with us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. She's Miss Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, Tom Withers in for Andy today. How weird is this going to be for you?
Well, that's a special treat for me. That's one of my very dear friends. So
there
I'm
you go.
To do this.
That's going to be fun.
Hi, awesome. MK. Good to hear you.
Yeah, good to join you. Thanks.
So let's just get it out of the way. It's Travis Hunter, right? It's all over and done with.
Of course. It's that simple. No problem. No, it's just funny because the national media 2 weeks ago, it's Abdul Carter. It's absolutely Abdul Carter. Now the it pick, of course, is Travis Hunter. And it might turn out to be that way, but I'm just still not 100% sold on that. I haven't committed to that yet. Actually, as I leave the showcase, which I was honored to be able to go to, and I had a great time there, I come away with it still thinking the same thing that I have for the past couple of months, and that is see quarterback, get quarterback. The Browns have the number 2 overall pick in this draft and a clear shot at one of the two best quarterbacks in this draft, and I'm just trying not to overthink it too much.
I'm right along with you, MK. Hey, for a second, can you take us back to Boulder, Colorado and the showcase? And I can imagine that was everything Dion that you could imagine. What was it like?
It was great. It wasn't as much of a circus as I thought it was going to be.
Good to hear.
It really wasn't. It was very professionally run. It was organized. They had a press conference area set up sort of on one end of the fields, and they had ESPN was set up there, NFL Network was set up there, and then they had a podium where they brought Dion over to us, and they brought Shadur over to us. Travis did not talk after the showcase. He doesn't love to do media too much, so he chose not to do that on that day. But Shadur came over, and he graciously answered all of our questions, and same thing with Dion. And I actually was able to squeeze in a question to both of them. And if you look at my Twitter, or if you see any of the stories that I wrote about Dion saying that he thinks one of those guys is going to end up here, that was my question that I threw out to him. I was asking him about his little meeting on the field with Jimmy that I had seen him do right before that. And he looked straight at me, straight into my phone, and dropped the Jimmy quote. And then the fact that he believes one of those two guys will end up in Cleveland. So that was really cool. And then I was able to get in a couple questions to Shadur as well. But I was right in the thick of it with everybody. At one point, I was standing there watching Shadur throw, and I looked to my right, and there was Paul DePodesta standing like right next to me. So I actually got right into the middle of everything, and somehow I managed to do that, and that was really cool to be up close and personal to it all.
So since Travis Hunter is kind of the it guy, if you will, and I think we're going to probably get a right-hand turn at some point here, aren't we, though, MK? Like, it's going to switch back to Abdul Carter next week or back to Sanders. But as far as Hunter's concerned, I heard some of the national guys saying, and I know he was only on the field for a very short time when you were there, but they were talking about just, you know, what a freakish athlete this kid is and how he moves and the way he comes in and out of his routes, et cetera. What were your general impressions of seeing Hunter for the short period that you did?
Well, that is absolutely true. And, you know, we've watched so much football practice over all these years. I mean, you and I have been there right in the middle of all of it with a front row seat since way, way, way back when. And it just hits different.
Yeah.
When an elite athlete shows up on the field, he just looks different than your average bear. And you're right. Just his agility, the way his legs move, the way he can move those feet and stop on a dime and change direction and catch passes effortlessly. It really is a sight to behold when you see an athlete that is that good. So I can see the wisdom in drafting Travis Hunter, and I'm writing about this today, but only if you love another quarterback enough to find him and be assured that you can get him somewhere. I mean, you can't take a chance on missing out on your quarterback of the future if you think he's somewhere in this draft.
Mary Kay, it's interesting to hear you say that because I've had the same thought. But my question is this. If they think that Sanders is going to be a top 10 even quarterback in the NFL, you have to take him. Are you impressed with what you've seen of him? You watched him up close and personal there. Does he look like a top 10 quarterback to you, or does he look like a guy, just a guy?
Well, he looks to me like a quarterback that can come in and get the job done for you at a high level. And here's one of the reasons why I'm saying that. First of all, he showed me that he has no trouble hitting the deep ball. He had a beautiful and accurate deep ball. Now, again, there were a few wobblers on some of the shorter routes, but in my mind, if you can put that kind of spin on a deep ball that's going to travel 60 yards almost effortlessly, then you can find a way to put the right spin and touch on a shorter pass. Now, you might need to work with another quarterback's coach. You might have need somebody else to take a look at that, but you have it in that arm to be able to do it. So I don't think arm strength is an issue at all. So he checked that box for me. And then just in terms of his personality, I think he has what it takes to be the face of a franchise. I watched how his teammates interacted with him. They love him. I mean, they absolutely love him. There was no diva about him, even though he talks about being legendary and things like that. He's really a great, fine young man that I think Browns fans would absolutely love. I think he has what it takes to handle adversity, to deal with everything that you have to deal with, to be a pro NFL quarterback. I think he can do it, and that's a lot of it. If you can handle all of that stuff, then you're going to be ahead of the game.
MK, without revisiting too much of the swing and miss that the Browns took with Deshaun Watson, do you feel at all that any part of this organization may be a little gun-shy now when it comes to a quarterback, and why that, if they don't believe in Sanders at two, why they may go another route, you know, be it Hunter or Carter?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. And that is a great question. That's a great question. And that's part of what I'm writing about today. I've been sitting, looking at my computer and trying to figure out how to put this all together. But that's one of the points that I do want to make. You can't live in your fears with these quarterbacks. You just have to be aggressive if you want to get this thing turned around and find yourself a quarterback. You can't let somebody else reap the benefits of a quarterback like this if he turns out to be that. And guess what? If he doesn't, you can overcome it. The San Francisco 49ers traded up to draft Trey Lance. It didn't work out, but they overcame it. And that's also why I'm very adamant about taking two quarterbacks in this draft. I've been saying it from day one. I've really been on that bandwagon for a long, long time. I think they should take two. If you've got 10 picks and you're trying to solve this quarterback situation, why not do that? Take someone in the maybe the third round or the fourth round. I was even crazy enough to propose trading. I know, and it really ruffled a lot of feathers. But I propose trade back into the darn first round and take Tyler Shuck. I mean, why not? You have got to get the quarterback situation solved. And I'm very intrigued with him, by the way. And I still, even though that does sound ludicrous to do something like that, you know, maybe this situation needs ludicrous. Maybe it does need thinking outside of the box.
We've lived ludicrous, though. Now, in terms of Sanders, though, so let's say they do take Hunter and he starts to slide. I mean, can you see a situation where, you've already been a proponent of the Browns trading back into the bottom part of that first round? Could you see them sliding back up into the 20s somewhere and getting both of the Colorado Buffaloes?
You know, in theory, it really sounds like a great thing to try to do. But I can't see that happening. I really do believe that some team, if the Browns don't want Shador at number two, I think that either the Giants are going to take him at number three, or somebody else is going to take
him. New Orleans at nine, right? I got you.
Yeah. I really don't see that happening. I don't think that you can take that chance. And here's the other thing that I don't think that you can take a chance on. I don't think you can believe that maybe you have a sleeper quarterback somewhere that you're going to be able to wait and get until 33, because teams will trade up. They will pay a premium for these quarterbacks, and some of them will go way higher than anybody believes that they should, because that is just the nature of the beast. So if you think that you can wait until 33 and get your guy, I think that's taking an enormous risk.
And Mary Kay, especially, you know, the situation here with what we've gone through with quarterback, I think of RG3 and Kirk Cousins in the same draft for Washington. I think of Dallas having Troy Aikman and bringing in Steve Walsh. Remember when that one happened?
That's right, yeah.
Think about Joe Montana, and they brought in Steve Young.
Yeah.
And so I understand completely, and I think your thought's a good one, because you might have an opportunity here to solve an issue that's plagued the franchise since it returned to the NFL.
Right, and last year I remember being very intrigued by Joe Milton, just from a size standpoint and an arm standpoint, and I thought he was a very raw prospect. But why not take a flyer on him in a later round? And that's what the Patriots did. They took him in the sixth round. Well, the Browns could have easily done that, and look what the Patriots did. They parlayed that into a fifth-round pick by trading him to the Cowboys. If it doesn't work out for you, you might be able to get a draft pick out of that player. So I would definitely be grabbing another quarterback somewhere in this draft. There are some intriguing ones. Kyle McCord is one that I've been hearing some really, really good things about from just people outside of the league that I've been talking to. And so I think that you can find someone a little later that you can bring in as a developmental guy. And, you know, hey, why not have somebody breathing down your first-round pick's neck a little bit, too? There's something about competition that brings out the best in players. So I would definitely be doing that, and I actually wouldn't care how high I take them, but, you know, that's just me.
What about in terms of adding another veteran quarterback, Mary Kay? I mean, it doesn't sound like Atlanta wants to part with Kirk Cousins without, you know, a ransom note. You know, there's a couple guys still floating out there.
That's
our old
true.
Friend Joe Flacco is still out there. Carson Wentz, that kind of ilk. Do you think that would be, you know, those kinds of guys would be somebody else that the Browns would be looking at this point?
Well, I've written a few things about the Kirk Cousins situation and how it is kind of complicated.
Yeah, it is.
I've called it the tricky trifecta that they would have to hit, and that is you would have to satisfy the Atlanta Falcons with the right draft pick and the right amount of money. They need some relief on the $37.5 million they're paying him this year. So they're not going to let him walk out the door unless you ante up there a little bit. Then they'd have to come up with some kind of draft pick compensation for him. So there's that. And then Kirk is not going to come here if you draft Shador Sanders. So you can pretty much rule that out. And that is why I've written many times that he is not waiving his trade clause until draft day. He's not going to do it. He wants to see who's going where. And then, you know, then you've got to satisfy the Cleveland Browns. It has to work for them from a financial standpoint and from a role standpoint. So it's a three-pronged attack. And at this point, I'm not saying that it won't happen, but it's just tricky and it's complicated. Then you move on to some of those other guys. I think you'd have to ask yourself, do you really believe that a Carson Wentz or a Joe Flacco is going to give you anything more than what you've already told us you like about Kenny Pickett? I mean, Kenny Pickett week at the NFL annual meeting. My goodness, we could have had a little parade for him. So I do think that they might actually go younger with another quarterback, you know? And there are a few of those guys still out there, too. So I'm not really sure that they're going to go with the older veteran at this point.
Mary Kay, great to have you with us. And I hope you enjoyed talking to Tom.
Oh, I loved it. It was awesome.
Likewise. Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Take care, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot, plaindealercleveland.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I'm learning on the fly here, by the way.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Like, I forget to press my on button every once in a while.
I've been doing this for 14 years. I do the same thing. Menegan has to punch it for me sometimes.
Early season at bats for me, if you will.
It's the same thing.
There we go.
Well, it's a pleasure having you here today.
And pleasure to be here. Thank
Tom's, though retired from the Associated Press, still working with the Associated Press and is going to be working with us here at The Fan.
I am. Yeah, I'm going
to. So we're looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Exercising, it's a different world for you.
It is very different. Exercising some new muscles. I do have some radio DNA. My mom worked in radio and television in Buffalo.
Oh, nice.
Years ago. Yeah, she was with WGR and WKBW.
I was on WJR this morning.
Were you really?
Is it GR?
GR, yeah.
On there this morning.
So my,
that wasn't a ding. I was just following up Tom.
Oh, no, you're bragging about how you were on the radio.
No,
that's a thing.
They didn't pay me a dime. A
there you go. So, so my mom, God rest her soul, was a producer. She was also the musical librarian.
Nice.
And had a very extensive album collection that unfortunately my dad sold years ago, unbeknownst to the children in the family. So some rare... Duke Ellingtons and Dizzy Gillespie pressings went right out the way, but that's all good. This is cool.
That's awesome.
This is new for me and exciting. Thanks for having me.
We're going to get into what Mary Kay Cabot just mentioned about a certain quarterback who's actually on this roster in a second here, but we're in the final weeks leading into the draft. In case you didn't know, pro days wrapped up, rumors swirling. Don't miss Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin's latest edition of their podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland. They discuss all of that latest talk, everything that's going on with the Browns, what they'll do on April 24th. You can subscribe to the podcast now, 923thefan.com, on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution.
Click, click, click.
Mary Kay mentioned Kenny Pickett, and you mentioned Kenny Pickett, and I've talked about Kenny Pickett. Right now, Tom, he's the guy standing.
Hey, what's so bad about Kenny Pickett?
Well,
he's been painted with this negative vibe about him, right? I mean,
our colleague Terry Pluto at the Plain Dealer wrote a great feature about Kenny Pickett over the weekend.
Did he? I'm sorry, I didn't.
And it was
to catch it.
Terry hammered home a lot of points that I thought. And when they picked him up, Tom, my general reaction was this: well, I didn't expect that, and he's more than I thought they would bring in. For that role.
Fair. Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that is. He's a guy that's always intrigued me. It was a first-round draft pick, 3 years ago?
Yeah. With the same draft profile grade as Shedeur Sanders.
Okay, and a guy that was, dissected and, the small hands thing, right,
yeah.
Became a big issue before the draft. Pittsburgh still felt, they liked him enough to take him. Spent some time where Philadelphia.
Yeah,
would he
still be in Pittsburgh if he didn't kind of force his way out?
He
wanted out because they brought in Russ Wilson.
That's a fair point, and I can understand why Cleveland fans are not super excited about Steeler castaways or whatever you want to call him. But look, you look at what he's done; that he's still young. I think you've got to give, you got to continue to trust. To a degree in this coaching staff and the way they've been able to kind of fight through some quarterback issues, unlike maybe any other NFL franchise over the last 3 years, right? I mean, they've won with other guys.
Yeah.
They brought Joe Flacco in off of his couch and made it to the playoffs, and credit to Joe Flacco there, but also credit to the coaching staff and the system that they had in place to be able to kind of pick up without,
put him in there.
Things completely falling apart.
And not miss a beat, really.
So, yeah, I'm intrigued by him.
Would this be enough for you? Kenny Pickett starts game one, let's just say.
Rookie quarterback.
You have Shedeur Sanders.
Okay.
You have Mary Kay's other rookie quarterback. Could you go Kenny Pickett and two rookie quarterbacks?
That I don't know. That's why I was bringing up to her the veteran. The other sage.
But you're not going to carry four, right?
No, you're not. But, well, you could. I mean, they
could.
Did last year until... They ended up, making cuts at the end of camp, have you. Why am I blanking on the Ravens guy that was here?
Tyler Huntley.
Thank you, Tyler Huntley, who I like, by the way. And then, he used to do damage to the Browns every time they played him, right? So I'm more in favor of, I'm with you. Okay, Kenny Pickett, rookie of your choice, and then a veteran, I'd be okay with that. And again, I'm gonna put my faith in Stefanski and company to fix it, to get it right.
A guy like Flacco?
Still around, still available. You know, he's
Flacco with Pickens and a rookie, I think is doable.
Why not? We've seen worse operations.
Well, yeah. Is this, I've tried not to think of this, Tom, because.
Keeps you up at night?
Well, a lot of things do. but because of this, I don't want to look to the 2026 draft. You have the second pick in the draft right now. And if you're looking to the 2026 draft, it's supposed to be a pretty good quarterback draft. But you can't just circle Arch Manning.
Right.
But if you're going to be in position to get a good pick next year, that means you're going to stink this year. Mm. And or you're going to have to give up a lot of assets to move up.
I follow your reasoning there, Jeff. I'd remind you, too, though, that don't just focus on the 2026 draft. Focus on the 2026 season in general, and that there are other teams out there who are going to have quarterbacks coming and going.
Yeah.
And there may be a situation where you can then make a trade that you've been thinking about for several years. You know,
for instance, if Shedeur Sanders ends up in New Orleans, there's Derek Carr.
There you go. And you can kind of plug this away. Now, granted, do we all want to see the Browns find the guy and have the franchise guy and have your starter for the next 10 years? Of course.
Sure.
It may not work that way. And it may be a couple years before you can get to the point where you're comfortable in making that move to get that guy. So there's so many things that can still happen, Jeff, right? Somebody's going to become available. Somebody's going to, you know, be in a contract situation with another team that wants out.
Yeah.
Things See, now, move.
Here's we're talking about Pickett. This is what we're fighting. Okay, yeah. My buddy Jeff in Cleveland, who sends me wonderful texts. Jeff, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it, despite your bad fantasy football work. Kenny Pickett's not good. Steelers let him go. Philly didn't want to keep him. Who is it, Tanner Roark? Is that their backup now, I think? Unless we're paying him a lot more than Philly did, why did they say goodbye? Well, they had two backup quarterbacks, and they picked one. And they flipped Kenny Pickett and got something. You know, I just...
The Super Bowl champs, they can do whatever they want.
Well, yeah. I'm probably, Tom, too lenient with this. Kenny Pickett's been in the league, and put in any name, been in the league 3 years. You can't write a guy off. Even a guy who hasn't been wildly successful. I've mentioned this example too many times, and if you've heard it before, forgive me. Rich Gannon kicked around the league forever. And it was like he was in his early 30s when he ends up with the Raiders,
yeah.
And it becomes the MVP. And was really good for like 3 years. If you could get a couple of years out of Pickett, or if Kirk Cousins gets available, or as you said, a scenario at the end of training camp, you don't think they could make a trade at the end of training camp and go get fit like Derek Carr?
It happens.
It happens all
every
the time.
Year. Yeah.
Yeah. And that guy could come in and buy you 2 years and keep you competitive for two years.
We get fixated on that number two pick because it's sexy.
There.
It's sexy and all that, right? And it's been a long time. And listen, everybody here can show the scars of the last 3 years of the quarterback situation here, right?
Yeah.
It's been rough on everyone. Fans, players, media members, it's been rough. And so I think that colors the way we feel about the quarterback situation and the Browns in general.
I agree completely. We'll talk more football. If not today, by golly, in the next week and a half. And months,
you can be sure of it.
In the months ahead. But the Guardians are opening their season today at home. The season's already underway, but their home opening part of the season. Travis Hafner played first base, DH, for the Indians. And he's a buddy of ours. He's next right here on Baskin and Phelps.